close family to my grandmother. And how, I don't know, you know.
Okay, so I'll say first, this is Eleanor Haddon. I'm in Ketchikan, Alaska. It's November 9th, 2001. And I'm interviewing Catherine Kerstetter. So first I need you to give me your English name. Okay, so first I need you to give me your English name, where you were born, your birth date, that kind of information.
Start now?
Start now.
Well, I guess I would say my given name is Catherine Nellis Jones. Johnson Kerstetter is my legal, you know. And born in Kassan, April 9, 1914. Yeah. And my Haida name is Hagant Wat. What it means, I never did find out. No.
And do you know who gave it to you?
Seems to me like it was Mae Wallace from Heidelberg. And Mae Wallace was related to her Nana. Emma.
And could you give me the name of your clan?
Raven.
Raven? Mm-hmm. Do you know the name of the clan?
Oh, I had to put it down somewhere.
Okay. Do you have any other crests besides Raven?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. And could you give me the names of your parents, your grandparents?
Emma Smith. And, let's see, what did she have? Well, Emma Smith was married to, what was his name? George Frank. Yeah. And she had two brothers, Julius Frank and Edward, his brother. And Edward died when he was quite young, that's all that I can remember.
And so your mother was, what was her name?
Haida Lee?
Haida and English, if you know it.
Oh, Anna Fight.
Mm-hmm. Did you know her Haida name?
Yeah, I remembered it last night. Can you remember it, Willard? What Mother's Haida name was?
Tahila.
Yeah.
And your father's?
Stas,
then what was his English name?
Louis. Louis Jones.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell me your name of your husband?
Well, the first one was Jones Johnson, and the second one was James Christopher.
Okay. And where did you meet him?
At a dance in Sitka on November the 11th. Yeah, he was in the army, and a lot of people were thinking too much of the army people, you know. And I felt sorry for them. I said they're up here because they were in the army, and the army sent them up there. And that's where I got it. He came and asked me to dance with him. So I danced with him. And that was the beginning. Yeah.
Okay, and the names of your children and your grandchildren?
Oh, We had a daughter and she died first. And she's very busy here in Ketchikan. And since she was alive when she was born, they told me that she had to have a name. Because I said along the path, baby cursed her, but her name was Josephine Fitzgibbon's mother. And the other name was my mother's name, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was born in Cuba. Well, it's in there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your other children?
There was the first, was a baby girl, and then Bob, Robert J. is better, and then Melinda, Josephine, because that was her name. But she goes by the name of Linda because she wasn't too happy with her name. I don't know why we were like that. And all our names are, every name in the family is illegal, you know, but that's the way it goes.
And do you know, does any of your children or grandchildren have hyphen names?
Bob's name was Aonaga. And Linda's hyphen name is Gutfoss. I think mother and Nana gave their last names, and Nana made them, especially Bob remembers name. He loved to say his hyphen name. And it was little when he got it, you know, but he always remembered it. And Linda wasn't. Well, she knew her hyphen name.
And do the grandchildren have hyphen names?
No. I didn't give them hyphen names, which I'm going to have to look into when I get home.
Did you speak Haida when you were growing up?
Yes, I did, both English and Haida. And as far as talking Haida, our language, I don't remember anybody telling me how to speak it, but I grew up with it.
Do you remember when you stopped speaking it?
Well, when I started living in Washington State, I had nobody to talk to. Not because Linda doesn't understand, and neither did Bob.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones I used to talk Haida to was the Adensos from Haida, but they were mother's family from there. Linda Frank Adenso was the mother from Heidelberg. And I used to, Gladys always stayed at Heidelberg, but Lillian lived in Seattle, and then she came over to Linwood. So we used to talk Haida together. She was giving Haida lessons for the university there. And when she didn't know a word, she used to call me up. And we talked about it as part of her teaching.
So you basically spoke Haida and English at home?
Yes.
Was there one reason that you would speak Haida and not speak English, or they would speak English and not speak Haida? I mean, why would it, like some places you'd have, in the kitchen, you might speak just Haida, or if you were asking for instructions. Was there any reason you spoke one language over the other?
No, I wasn't. We used to have to talk our language to Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and our grandfather, step-grandfather, but he was the only grandfather we knew or had, so he was our Richard O, you know. And we had to speak. Speak our language to both Donna and Chanel and go home.
How about to your parents?
No, it was English.
English?
Mm-hmm. And mother didn't know a lot of English, so but then. Did he talk Haida at all, my dad, our dad? I don't. When I began to realize that he was speaking Haida, you know,
I mean, now we have to think about it, but at the time you didn't have to think that you were speaking Haida or English, you were just speaking.
No, it was just the way we spoke. You know, like talking as the old people in Kasan, you had to talk Haida to them.
Mm-hmm. How about with your brothers and sisters? Did you speak?
Henry understood Haida, but he didn't. He didn't talk it. He knew, and same thing with George.
Mm-hmm.
He understood the language, but far speaking it, they didn't. And my younger, like George, Louise, I don't remember them talking Haida, I don't. I know we spoke English, but we had to talk English because when they were going to school, they had to speak English. So that was the language that we spoke.
Was there anyone at school that, I mean, what, say like at recess or something like that, did you speak English or Haida?
English.
English only at school.
Yeah.
Then where did you go to high school?
SJ.
And did you speak just English there?
Mm-hmm. Because at that time they were trying to wean us away from our Indian culture,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And I went to school in the eighth grade. I don't know how old I was when I took care of Bob and Eliza, Betty and Caroline and Roberta. I don't know how come I took care of them for Bob. I was a live-in. I was living in to look after them. And my dad said that if I was going to do that, it was with the understanding that I would go to school. Dad was very much believing that we should learn English and get a good education. Because he went first, the fifth grade? Do you remember, Willard?
It was fourth or fifth grade.
I think it was fifth. And that was, I think, first. He went, you know, and mother didn't have a formal education like my dad did. Oh, dad, I should say. See, I'm used to, when you're living alone, you know, when I'm talking about my dad, it's not bad. But when I'm up here, I have to realize I have to share.
You have to share him.
Yeah, share him, yeah. That's what Willard reminded me one time. Or was it Raymond that did that to me?
When you were growing up, was there, we're going to talk about Kasan.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, one a place that was more had special meaning to you. So as you grew up and you grew away, is there something you would remember about Casanas, a specific place?
Well, only our beaches
mm-hmm.
and our little creeks. Because
mm-hmm.
we lived with them. The small creek was the where we got that water was for laundry and household chores.
Mm-hmm.
And the big creek water was for drinking. And I think I can't remember if we cooked only the big creek water. I don't remember. But we had to have it for drinking, I told them.
So you packed your water into the house?
Yeah.
Did you use rainwater?
Oh yes, we had a great big rain barrel. Yeah, this about the depth was about like that. And we caught the rainwater and when I left home, that rain barrel was there, but I think eventually, you know, when the Youngs moved in there, they destroyed a lot of things.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And I went to, and I went to Kay High. I went to...
Ask that question. Wait, turn this on.
Okay.
Turn that on. Drink your water. Oh, and don't put your hands up too much.
Oh, me again? That's my silly hands again. That's what Freddie said. If I move my hands, then they can see it in the camera, and all of a sudden there's hands in your... In the
right in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when I... and I don't remember.
Turn things on.
Okay.
Turn
on.
I'm going. So you said you stayed with the Youngs and took care
of the Youngs.
Of the children.
Yeah.
Where were they?
In their house.
In Ketchikan?
Yeah, in Ketchikan.
Oh, in Ketchikan.
Yeah, they were our, at that time, our rich relatives, because Bob Young made a lot of money with the fishing. He had a trap. So there was a lot of money. So they bought their house in Ketchikan. And so Eliza, they lived in Ketchikan in the winter time, but every summer Eliza came home to be with her mother, who was my Lucy Bernard was her mother. So they came home for the summer and lived in the side until it was time to fishing was over and school was over. They looked so like white people, you know, I mean, they did. They were beautiful girls. Caroline was beautiful, and so was Betty.
So how long did you stay over there?
In Ketchikan? I don't know how long I stayed mm-hmm. there. And I don't know how come... and how long I stayed there, I don't remember.
Go back to Casanas a little bit. You talked about the way you got your water. Where did you get your food?
Well, at that time, there was two stores there. Mm-hmm. Jojo's, who is Margaret Olson's father, they had a fair-sized store. And Dan Nelson had a store that had a lot of canned stuff in them. In the fall time, a boat that came down to Washington to get their fresh fruit vegetables, potatoes. First, we didn't buy a lot of potatoes because we always had a potato garden.
Where was your potato garden?
There was one by beside the house, and our house sat there, and the potato garden was beside it. And then in back of our house was our rhubarb plants there, and where we had our like I said, our blackberries and gooseberries. We had red currants, black currants, and gooseberries.
Behind the house?
Yeah.
How about, was there anything else in the garden besides potatoes?
I think we planted mostly potatoes, because that was our staple, you know.
And what, did you get fish?
Oh, yeah.
And where'd you go for that?
Carter Bay. Yeah.
And
we used to go to Carter Bay when school was. And when school was out, we went to Gridley to get our seaweed and drive them on the rocks. Never gonna forget that.
And did you get halibut there too?
Yeah. So I used to get halibut and king salmon. King salmon was what we went there to fish, you know, because they had a fish buyer there.
Okay.
Yeah, and that fish buyer used to get the fish, and the smaller fish we used at home, but the bigger ones got sold, and the white fish was cheap too, because they preferred the red.
And did you used to go pick the seaweed?
No, I was the caretaker for the kids,
okay.
Smaller kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember who used to get the seaweed. Probably mother and dad.
But what would they do with it after they got it?
Dried it. And when I was growing up, we made cakes. And we had that box that bounced around in our house forever. And it was a box that was, it was about like that. So we made the cakes and we used to, first they put red cedar boughs on the bottom, and then that was the one, and they put it one layer at a time, you know, and I don't remember how many cakes we made. I don't remember. I know when we used to have to peel it off to have it at home. Fresh seaweed was so good.
Did you put flavors on it of any sort, or did you just dry it?
No, they put the water for gumboots.
Okay.
You know, when you're cleaning gumboots to eat, then you save the water. And after they dried it, and then we had to go through the process of giving the seaweed that flavor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wayne, when Willard said that, see, George used to tease him. George just loved to tease him. And he'd get mad. Wood chicken hammer on you. Not one, but two.
So where'd you get the chickens?
See, my grandfather worked on a sailing vessel between San Francisco and I don't know how far the sailing vessel would go.
Which grandfather was that?
The only grandfather we had.
Oh, Chanel Patty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know him?
No.
No. I know Willard does. Did you?
So he brought back chickens.
Yeah. And piglets.
Piglets?
Yeah.
And what did you do with them?
He raised them.
Uh-huh.
We only had that one. And and also, to get back to the chicken, we had that chicken. I don't remember if it was a female or a hen or what. I don't remember. And I don't remember what they ever did with it, because I don't think anybody wanted to eat the chicken if they had to kill it. It was a pet. Two chickens out there. It was so funny when he would get mad at his brother.
So you got seaweed at Carter Bay?
No.
Seaweed at Grindle. And then you got fish at Carter Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you smoke it? Where did you smoke it?
We had a smoke. We lived in our smokehouse.
Well, how big was it?
It was a comparatively big smokehouse, because we lived in there. Like I said, you know, we had a stove in there.
At Carter Bay?
Mm-hmm. And Dad made beds. Mother and Dad was here. And the rest of us were all crammed into, I think, a good-sized bed. And, of course, Henry was living by Nana and Chanava, because they took him. I have no idea, and I didn't know he was my brother. It never came up, you know. And so I found out he was my brother, being a big blabbermouth. I called Henry that he was my brother. Because we never, it never came up or was talked about, him being our brother. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I found out.
Well, how long would you stay at Carter Bay?
Long enough to smoke a fish.
Yeah, how long would you stay at Grindle?
Well, let's go south. We went to Greenwood. Salted down the cube salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And how long we stayed there, I don't remember.
A favorite place in Kasan or Grindle or Carter Bay?
No, something at Carter Bay that had our smokehouse there. And we had a little spring. And the whole thing, Brad Dad made a little You remember that? That's one of the first days whoever would go over there and clean out the little spring, you know, out of laying leaves and everything. And that was a real need.
That was at Carter Bay?
Mm-hmm. That's where we had our own private water that we didn't have it in Greenville.
That's right. You had to go get your water.
Yeah. From a little spring in Carter Bay.
Okay. When you were in Kassam, did you go to school?
Yeah, in our Red Schoolhouse.
Red Schoolhouse?
Mm-hmm.
For what grade?
Oh dear, let's see.
What, did you go to high school there?
No. We were going into the eighth grade when we got shipped to SJS.
Mm-hmm.
How'd
you get to SJ?
Princeton, the real religious Presbyterian church boat came and picked us up.
And
we didn't have a thing to say about it.
And did you say the whole school year? Did you come home at Christmas time?
No. Oh, no. Never. Because we didn't have that much break at Christmas. We didn't have any break.
How did we talked earlier about getting your groceries, you said there was a grocery store. How did you get your mail?
We had a legal post office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to go to the post office to pick up our mail.
How did the mail get there?
Well, before the plane started coming in, the mail boys used to come once a week to bring our mail. And as time went on, we had to bring our freight too, because where the stores in Kassam closed, they let us start getting our mail from the food and things.
So were the stores open all year round?
Yeah, they used to be.
When you were a little girl, what did you used to do? What were your favorites?
Well, we used to play. Run around and run and play.
Play what?
Tag, hide and go seek. And we used to play up at the, by the Powley house, because they had a baseball field there. And when the younger men, when all the young men were there, we used to have our own baseball field. Play baseball. Mm-hmm. And that was by the little creek. I keep talking about our little creek.
So when you had the potato garden,
mm-hmm.
How did you, who planted the potatoes, and what was the process that you went through to?
Well, we used to get the fertilizer we used was from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who would get the?
Oh, we all did.
Okay. Then what would you do?
Well, first you made your roll, potatoes, and then you put down the fertilizer, that the seaweed or whatever. Then you put dirt on top of that, and then you planted only one potato, and the potatoes were cut like that. They were about the size of that, and plant that, and that's what we used to get good potatoes.
Now, was that at the garden by the house, or did you have another place to plant?
Yeah, we had that up at Adams Point. We used to have a big garden there.
And when you went to plant potatoes there, who all went to plant the potatoes?
Whoever was home.
Uh-huh.
We all went.
And did you go back every once in a while and take care of
them?
Yeah,
you had to go up there and hoe it, you know, because first when you made your row for the potatoes, and then you killed it just a little bit, so that when the potatoes were growing, they had to be hoed again. We had to put more dirt on them, and then that was the last time we did that. We really did that until we had to harvest them.
Mm-hmm. Then who would go harvest them?
We did.
Everybody would go harvest them?
Because we went as a family, those of us that had the garden there. And when the kids were, like when he was little, my grandmother used to come with us and look after him on the beach, because we came by boat, rowboat. Yeah.
Okay. Then when you harvested them, where did you store them?
Dad had a, under the house, he had kind of a, like a, oh, we kept them under the house in that kind of a shed-like thing. And we had a drawer, and we put our potatoes in there.
So did you...
And these weren't Indian potatoes, they were Yasada potatoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you have a special place for the Indian potatoes?
We ate those as we went along. They didn't, I don't think the Indian potatoes in those days kept, if they did, I don't know it at all. I think those might have been where planted them by the house, maybe. Because when it came harvest time, especially we're at the high school, then we'd leave before the harvest. When the harvest would come in September, and we'd already be gone.
You had different kinds of salmon. You'd go get king salmon, sockeye, halibut.
Dog salmon.
Go ahead.
The dog salmon, we got the chamois. That's a sign.
And did everybody go again as a family to go fishing there?
No. Only the men would go there. Because by that time it was getting cold.
Mm-hmm.
So Dad would take the men.
Okay.
And they would get enough for whoever wanted them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then those were the ones, I don't know how come they made them into what we call the corset style. No, they weren't. They weren't prepared like we did the sockeye. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sockeyes, we sometimes we made them into what we call suspender style, and then the corset style. Like the corset ones were, they were cut like that, take the backbone off. Change it a little bit, and then the dog salmon, they were I don't know how come or why they were kept open to dry, just with little not twins, but they were, depending on the size of the fish, we had six. We were half. To keep them open to smoke.
So it was done like on a hole?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you have a job when they were smoking the fish? What was your job?
Well, it was up to us to find the wood. Because we didn't just get any kind of wood. We had to get all the wood and because we didn't, through the winter when we had the storms, see the cottonwood came from the mainland. But they didn't, there was no cottonwood at home. So we had to go and look for them after a storm, through the winter.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you'd look for cottonwood to smoke. So that was your job during the winter time.
Yeah.
In the summertime when you were doing the fish, what did you have a job?
Looking after the kids.
Looking after the kids.
Yeah.
So like berries, did you go pick berries and
the whole family would go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a forest fire in the Garda Bay. And that's where we got our blueberries. And then our huckleberries we got from Mount Edro. Outside. We didn't have a lot of berries right there, right in the sand proper, you know.
Mm-hmm. How about salal berries?
Oh, that's wild berries we got all over. We had lots of them on our beach, on our point.
And what did you do with all these berries?
I think maybe they were dried. I don't remember. Because I don't remember canning them, which we did. We did that to huckleberries. The berries. So in the old days, they dried them. Put them out in the sun to be dried.
Have you tried that before? I haven't.
Well, by the time Neil came along, we had jars and things, you know. Made life easier.
But do you remember drying them?
Seems to be like Grandma used to take care of that.
Do you remember, did they ever talk, did your Nana used to talk about when they moved from Old Kassan to New Kassan?
Well, my father used to.
Remember what he said about it?
No, not really. Then also they had smallpox there, so they considered the place was soiled, you know, on account of the smallpox. So that was another reason why all this happened, of course, before. Mama was born in Kassan, New Old Kassan. But I guess the rest of us were born in Kassan.
Was there anything that you used to do at holidays that you remember?
No, we just had our holidays.
Well, you talked earlier about having dinner or something up at the
town hall. They did that at Thanksgiving.
At Thanksgiving.
To make sure that, see, there were quite a few bachelors, both white and Indians, but everybody went there. And everybody brought something. town.
So that would...
It is a community time to be together, to have that Thanksgiving. We didn't do that Christmas, we just did it at Thanksgiving, and I don't know why.
Did you have a gathering up there at Christmas time of any sort?
Yeah, we had a Christmas program. See, we were very devoted Christians. Mm-hmm. And we had our Sunday school put out a program that went
from the little...
From kindergarten through, I guess, up to the eighth grade. Because everybody had a part in it.
And was there anything else that you remember at Christmas time?
Just a Christmas tree.
A Christmas tree? Mm-hmm. At the center? I mean, at the town hall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of Christmas tree was it?
Well, the same kind of a Christmas tree you had around here. And we had candles for our lights. Yeah. And the candles were up that. And that told us that spread open like a clothespin.
Okay, so how do they stay on the tree?
Yeah.
Huh. And were there presents given at that time?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And Jacob Talbus was always the Santa Claus person. And over there was a big tree, was our Christmas tree. And then by the Christmas tree there was another bare tree that had apples and oranges tied to the bushes. And somebody would have to shake that bare tree with apples and oranges in there. Had a regular Christmas stocking that had usually a little gift in there, an apple, and I always said orange was in the toll. I mean, orange. There was mixed candy, nuts, and an apple, an orange, and a gift. And then everybody got the Christmas stocking. Because they were done that way to make sure that families that didn't have the money to do that, so each child got a Christmas stocking.
Oh, how nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a choir at the church?
Yeah, they have a choir. Bill Irving had the choir, and when he died, the dad took over the choir at the church. But she was quite active in our church, you know.
I've heard about baseball team. You have a baseball team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uncle Healy, Robert, I guess our uncle. Yeah. We used to think that the Bishop Catholic were a real powerful team. But Cassan managed to beat them once in a while.
Also, the team traveled.
Yeah, just around to Ketchikan and Saxton and Ketchikan and Bishop Catholic. But we didn't go very far on account of being on Prince of Wales Island and being almost there, you know. But Bishop Catholic was on another island.
Did it have a band also?
We used to have a band. Remember, we had a picture of them. And they traveled down to Seattle for the World's Fair.
Was there a band when you were growing up, do you remember?
No, I don't remember that.
During your lifetime, from the time you were little till...
I left.
Until you left, what kind of changes did you see that you noticed?
How far has changed this? Well, when you're growing up there, you're not aware that of what's happening, just living there was a change.
Well, say, like, when you went back when you had children, did there seem to be something different when you brought the children back from when you were growing up?
No. We didn't have electricity, and no indoor plumbing, and we had to get our wood from the beach. We used to go to Sunny Art and get our wood. Get that Oslo. That's the driftwood. Yeah. And when Terry came into the family, he had a little boat, skiff. He would throw it all out there, so they called his boat Oslo.
When you left Cassan, you went first to go to school,
mm-hmm.
and then did you return in the summer times?
Not, I think we came home that first year, we came home, and then, Princeton didn't pick us up after we started there, so, we used to have to come by steamer, and the fare was $9, I don't know, from Sitka to Ketchikan. And then somebody from Cassan would come. Mostly, my dad would come and pick us up. But whatever. See, we were almost the only kids that went away to school.
So when you went to SJ, were there other, how many others were from Cassan? You said not many.
Well, I was the only girl from Busan that graduated. And there was only 9 of us. Mm-hmm. And Roger Bronovich.
Oh, only 9 that graduated from
Busan. Then by the time Julia graduated, there was a fair-sized house, you know.
Right. Do you have any favorite memories of when you were living there or growing up, or as you came back as an older person?
No.
My favorite memories? No. One time that was better than the other?
Not that. Remember.
They were all good times?
Yeah. Just coming, being able to come back home for work, from wherever we went. I always went back to be with Tom and Dad.
That was your favorite memory then? Mm-hmm. Coming back and just being home?
Yeah.
And did you get to stay very long?
No, mostly through the summer.
How about when you were, did you ever live there with your children?
Only in the summer times.
The summer times?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we didn't do that every summer. I think we went up every 2 years or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And we'd come there when yeah, we used to come there.
So when you were during the Depression, do you remember the Depression times in Japan?
We were in school.
You were in school?
Mm-hmm.
How about World War II?
World War II.
1941.
I was up in September when World War II. Broke out, and that's where I met you.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
I had thought in the time. Can we put him back? Ask you a couple of short questions and think about them. You need to turn off the tape, you can do that. It says, as we start learning more about our Haida culture and our Haida traditions, trying to remember, you know, what part of us is Haida, what do you think we should be teaching our children or our grandchildren about being a San Haida?
Just let them know where they're from, who they are, and who the family is. And that's what something that I did when Bob and Linda were little. I made sure that they knew they were Haida Indians, and they knew their Nana and Janelle.
How about some of the foods?
Well, in the summertime when we were there, we had our dried fish, smoked fish, and that's it.
So of all of the different things that we're trying to teach our children, what do you think is one of the more important things to teach the next generation?
That they know who they are and what family they came from, and their families, you know.
Where their families are.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you would like to add to what we've not talked about? We talked about a lot last night.
No, I can't.
What Was your father building boats when you were at home? I don't know when he started to build boats.
That's a good question. I think I was practically out of high school. Because I used to go with logging. When they went logging, see, all our lumber came from the ones that we, all our fallen trees, we had to fall the trees and season them out. Mm-hmm. And that took a while, you know. Then they'd have to drag it out of the woods and tow it on.
Do you have, is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we've not talked about?
Not that I can think of. I think we've talked about everything.
We talked about fish. We talked about berries and seaweed. How about Hudson Bay tea?
That came from the flats up. I think in Denver, there was kind of a swamp there, and that's where the Hudson Bay tea came from. They had to be dried.
Is there, of all the different foods you got to eat,
what was your favorite one?
What's your favorite one?
The dried smoked
fish. Where did you used to get grease?
That came from Canada. A boat used to come from Prince Rupert and bring the grease in 5-gallon cans. And where do you get your fish grease now? Same place? Would you have to go there or?
Both ways. Somebody comes from Prince Rupert or we go to Prince Rupert.
Yeah. To this day.
Mm-hmm. So how about, what else did they used to bring over that you remember?
That's all.
Did you buy it or did you trade?
No, I bought it. $5 for a 5-gallon can.
My goodness.
Yeah. And then they used to use seal grease for cow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you ate seal grease too?
Yeah. We used the seal oil for our cow. And I don't remember for as far as dipping. Like we do our grease, you know, and potatoes and things. I don't remember doing it with seal oil, but we did that with the regular olive oil.
Are there foods that you used to eat then that we don't eat now?
Seal oil is one of them. And the Tlingits used the seal oil, I think, more than they did the olive oil. Well, good. And I told you about Jeb Bowen. His wife liked the seal meat. And ever died. But as a kid, I don't remember us having it. I don't.
Do you remember eating seal?
No. But we had the seal oil.
How about stink heads or stink eggs? Or how about the one that it's a bit, they make it out of the eggs and they smoke it and
oh, it's a skeleton bat. Yeah.
Did you used to make that? Or did you?
No, we did it. Yeah, I used to.
How do you make it?
You just ferment it. You put them in jars. Yeah.
So what was it? What did you put in jars?
The eggs. And then.
Yeah, but I don't know what she's talking about. So, round eggs?
Yep, the children.
I've never heard that one before. Tell me some more about that one.
The round eggs?
Yeah. You ferment them and put them in jars, is that?
Yeah, yeah. We used to put them in quart jars. We didn't seal them tight because otherwise they'd explode. And then the Indian cheese, that I knew how to do. When we were getting our fish up to be carte bay, we saved all the eggs. And you hang them up in your smokehouse. I don't remember how long we had to keep them hanging there. And then when you took it down, I made a batch by myself. And I made it for Dad to run out when we came up for the year. And even talking about it, he used to get mad. Because Jacob Thomas was, by that time, alone. Now that Susie was gone, and you didn't have anybody to make his cheese. And that one year when I made that, he invited Jacob. And Dad was very fussy when he would invite people for the potatoes and get it ready. And cut the, because after it's been hanging, they were put into smoke cabbage, you know. And you took that core in the middle. You always took that out so that you could
fold it.
Yeah. In the old days, they used to use the cedar ribbons to tie them up.
How about crab or shrimp?
Gumboots? No, gumboots. And gumboots we got in Grenville. And same thing with the lady slippers. And the lady slippers are the red ones, you know. Let's see. They were, I don't remember where we used to get them, but Bill and Pauline used to get them, and Pauline was good at letting it cook, you know.
How about clams and cockles?
Cockles, there's a cockle beach by the graveyard down there. Poplars come on account of the sandy beaches, yeah. And the triremes we got by the China Point.
Where did you get the Quaker?
Like in the window.
What did you do with those?
Well, when they had bad colds, you bit a feather and stuffed it up your nose. Yeah, that's all I remember. It helped, whatever it did, it worked.
That was going to be my next question. Did you use anything special if you got sick or had a cold?
Well, the guaica.
And devil's club?
Yeah, that we made them into skin, you know. Made them into tea. Oh, and we had it in order to not get tuberculosis. We had to do that faithfully, not all year, just in the early fall, before the bad weather would start coming in. We had to take the Tishlin. That's the devil's club.
If you had a medical emergency, who was there to take care of?
When we were little, I mean, the parents took care of them, or the grandmother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would know what to do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did you handle big cuts?
Big machete cuts.
I think by that time we're getting civilized to where bad things happen when we had boats available with the fetch it then.
After Second World War, probably 1965 maybe, and logging with Uncle Julius Dexter. Uncle Julius cut his foot right by the big joint in the bone. And he went up in the woods and got spruce pitch.
Mm.
And then you kind of boil that a little bit, get all the bark and dirt out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Put one they cut covered with the craft with the shovel. That's all they did.
That one I didn't. In the old days they used to use moss before they got civilized but had other means of taking care.
What kind of moss? Just the moss in the trees or the moss on the ground?
Oh, the moss from the ground. That's if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where did you get wild rice?
Surface stuff?
Oh.
From the flats in Brindle and in the sand.
On the beach?
No, in the woods.
In the woods?
Yeah.
I've never found any. What's the plan?
I guess we picked them all. We did.
You lift all the rocks.
Yeah. You took all my big rocks. Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's all the questions I have. If you think of anything else, you can...
I'll call and let you know.
Call and let me know.
Yeah.
Write them down. I have a special thank you for you. Why we went to learn how to do seaweed.
Oh.
This is our thank you. So we went out and picked our seaweed, and Mom and Dad taught us how to grind it up and dry it. And there's a whole bunch of little, it's got a special tie on it.
Hmm. Well,
booby trapped, I think.
Yeah. Hmm.
Holy smokes. That's to make you hungry.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're almost warm. You're warmer than before. Maybe this will make you warm.
And this is just the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this you can keep with the grease.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has flavors on it, I know.
Well, did you put gumbo to water down on them?
Clam juice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
We ground it on the deck and then dried it on the until it started raining.
Mm.
We brought it inside. We brought it downstairs.
Oh.
We wanted to learn how to try to make some into the cakes.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting too complicated.
Yeah. And they were very hard to dry because you used to have to take them out every good day to put the sheet down and put the cakes down.
So when you had it in the cake form, it would get so a certain kind of dry, and then you take it out, or would you leave it all packed up?
Yeah, well, depending, they were kept dry. You just kept them in there.
Okay.
And you would cut it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, maybe we'll try that next year.
Because mostly that is for fresh eating.
Okay.
And then the ones like this was go for make fish.
Mm-hmm. How about like the ones that are long, just skinny, then you lay it down this way to dry? Did you do that kind?
Not that I know.
Kind of like lollipop. Long, lay them down long this way.
Mm.
Yeah, that's our thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you.
Thank you. So if you think of anything else, let us know.
You sure will.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Testing.
Okay. Yeah, Massive BC.
All $20 gold pieces of it.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Wow.
They had to be. Because it wouldn't be dollars, you
no.
know.
Were you there then? Was this during your time?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, what year maybe? You born 1914, you might have been 10 years old.
Around there. Because I definitely remember when we talked. I don't know who was at home with us or anything, and we talked Mother into let us open a can. How hard those cans would be.
Was it a little lard can?
Yeah, 8-pound lard can.
Full of money.
Yeah.
I missed why.
When Brown Jones, his wife Kitty, and Dad went to Mass for a gospel team. Mm-hmm.
There was a whole bunch of other people from Crescent went. And then they would in turn come back to visit us to go hallelujah. See, that was things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we met our relatives from Masset.
Who else had a trap?
That's all.
What about Denny?
No, Denny died.
Irvine, when the Irvines, didn't they have a trap?
The Irvines, yeah. Bill Irving.
Bill Irving had a trap?
Yeah. And Denny and Dad helped to build the trap. And that's when Denny died on, coming home from Ketchikan. He drowned while he was drunk. And Bill Irving, whenever they came from Ketchikan, somehow they managed to get the boat tied up. Then they'd come up the road, drunker than skunks.
Hello.
Hi.
Just in time to have a cup of tea.
Well, you pick our brains?
Yeah, it is. We're getting down to the
gossiping now.
Stuff.
Oh.
No recording.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's been recorded.
Oh. No, it's the recorder doesn't work anymore. Oh.
Well, did you get everything done?
Well, I gave up on the library on the going through the newspapers.
What were you looking for?
I saw a little girl have
not a heck of a lot. Mm. I was married to a Yasada woman. That's about all I remember. Because, like I said, they moved to the Bronoviches moved to Heidelberg. Ask him about it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
You want some tea, Linda?
No, I'll stay. Got it? Hot.
What I'm confused about is Eddie Pat said that the first Churchill was adopted. And his name was Smith.
No, I don't know anything
don't know
about
that.
That,
huh? So I was wondering why they got her marked on as Emma.
Emma Smith.
Emma Jones.
Jones.
Do you have any questions about changes?
Which is Leonard's mother.
Probably not. Well,
and
your family.
His name was Smith. When they married, they adopted him, made him Churchill.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Would that be Eddie Pat's father?
Oh, father, grandfather, something.
No, but no.
We're kind of done just gossiping now.
Okay.